Coming up on This Week in Radio Tech, Tony Lewis is with us. Who's that? Well, you've ever heard of Free PBX? Lets you make a PBX phone system in your radio station or for your business or even in the cloud. Tony Lewis started that, and he is with us on This Week in Radio Tech. Also, Chris Tarr is with us to talk about great uses for VoIP telephony, how you can save money and get great sounding phone calls and all that. It's all coming up next on TWRT.
This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Broadcasters General Store, with outstanding service, savings, and support, online at bgs.cc. By Broadcast Bionics, with the Bionic Studio, including talk show control, social media, and visual radio, Broadcast Bionics brings exceptional audience engagement to radio and TV. By Angry Audio. Audio problems disappear when you get angry at angryaudio.com. By Nautel, worry-free transmission you can count on with outstanding control, reliability, efficiencies, and Nautel's unmatched 24/7 customer support, online at nautel.com. And by MaxConnect Wireless, prioritized high-speed internet service designed for transmitter sites and remote broadcasts.
Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech. It's the show where we talk about everything from the microphone, like this one, to the light bulb at the top of the tower. I don't have one of those with me today. I'm Kirk Harnack, and I'm not in the usual Telos Alliance studio today in Nashville. Nope. I am in the famous, beautiful southern town of Oxford, Mississippi, home of Ole Miss University. The Ole Miss Rebels are here. And, you know, if you're a Rebel fan or if you are an SEC fan, you know the two-word phrase in this town, that will get you a free cup of coffee some places, and it's hottie toddy. That's what they yell. That's what they say when the football team or any of the teams win. Hottie toddy. That seems to be the phrase here in Oxford, Mississippi. So delighted to be here. We're building a new radio station, and we'll tell you more about that in the upcoming episode. It's pretty unusual the way we're doing things here, and I really can't wait to tell you about it. All right. Chris Tarr is going to be along soon. He is he's in the green room right now getting all cleaned up. But I want to go ahead and bring our guest in. As I mentioned, I'm Kirk Harnack. I work for the folks at the Telos Alliance. But our guest is somebody that I should have known years ago. And I'm so glad to have been introduced to him recently by Robbie Green, a former Odyssey engineer in Houston, Texas, and now is a colleague of mine here at Telos. So without much further ado, let's bring in Tony Lewis. Tony, are you there?
I am here.
Good deal. Tony Lewis, CEO at clearlyip.com. Wow, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I know that my audience members are going to be delighted to make your acquaintance as well when they find out a little bit about your history. So if I got onto an elevator with you and we had an interesting conversation, what would I learn about you by the time the doors open?
Oh, man. About me, I come from a wide background of construction, real estate, yellow pages, and then voice over IP telephony. Most recent, we're 2023, so 2008, we had founded a company and built a product that a lot of you are probably familiar with called Free PBX. So we were our core team at ClearlyIP were the creators of the modern day Free PBX. We ran that for years and years, sold our company off to another company called Sangoma, joined Sangoma for 4 years. I was COO at Sangoma. And kind of oversaw the growth and expansion of Free PBX and a lot of other stuff at Sangoma. And a few years ago, a core of us left and went and started ClearlyIP. Wanted to get kind of back into our own startup and entrepreneurship again. And I'm doing a lot in the voice over IP space and different things with UCaaS, Unified Communications, and cloud communications, and you name it.
That's awesome. So many of our audience members.
That was a long elevator ride, by the way.
That's all right. Maybe the 25th floor. So many of the engineers watching and listening right now have heard of Free PBX. Some of them are good at it. Others just heard it, hadn't tried it. And I got to tell you, it was that software, Free PBX, that made it possible for me to learn about voice over IP and how it works, at least well enough to manage it and deal with it and kind of wrangle it and make a phone ring and have conversations on cheap or darn near free phone services. So I'm excited to meet you and to talk about Free PBX and also then to, toward the end of the show, talk about the things that you're doing now, some of it specifically to help engineers like me do our jobs better. So we're gonna take our first quick. I'm sorry, Tony. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. It's a wide use case for EPBX across a lot of industries.
Yes, indeed. And luckily, broadcast is one of them. So we're going to be right back in a minute. Our show, This Week in Radio Tech, is brought to you in part by our friends at Nautel. You know, we talk about them at the top of every show. And at Nautel, they've got these HD radio products. And I'm talking about those this week again. It's been a couple of months. And the HD radio things that Nautel makes make it easy for you to add HD radio to your FM radio station, especially if you're using a Nautel transmitter. They're designed to work with each other. Nautel has you covered, really, with field-proven, high-performance HD radio solutions. And I bring it up because I'm about to install some Nautel HD radio gear here in Oxford, Mississippi. These stations that I'm at right now, we're going to have three formats. We're going to have kind of a modern rock format and an oldies format and an AC, an urban AC format. That's what I'm trying to say. So we're gonna have three different formats. Of course, the HD1 will be a duplicate of the FM. HD2 will be oldies, and HD3 will be the urban AC. We're gonna be using the HD Multicast Plus box at the transmitter site. In our case, it could go at the studio, but in our case, it's gonna be the transmitter site. To put those HDs on the air, get the timing just right, get all the modulation just right, and of course, a Nautel transmitter, a 2.5 kilowatt transmitter that is ready to turn on HD. So if you want to learn more about HD radio, it's easy to do at the Nautel website. They have lots of resources there to help you learn about it. And maybe you put in your first HD radio back in Gen 1 or Gen 2 days, and it's time for you to upgrade or add another HD station. Well, if you do it with Nautel, it becomes super duper easy. So please check it out. You can go to Nautel.com and then click on products and HD radio, and you can read all about it. You can see the equipment that they offer, some of the ways that you can manipulate HD radio, and also how you can have a cloud-based radio air chain, if that's interesting to you. That gives you incredible reliability with your air chain. That was an experiment and a demonstration that we did between Omnia and Nautel. So thanks a lot, Nautel, for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech with the HD air chain products. Also, I should go ahead and mention at nautel.com/webinars, you can go to the Transmission Talk Tuesday discussion page. And the next one is coming up August the 1st. I guess that's next Tuesday, isn't it? Well, I should have talked about that. Go to nautel.com/webinars. And click on Transmission Talk Tuesday, and then click to register for What's Up with EAS. You know what? My friend Dan Merwin and I were just installing some EAS gear today, you know, the good old-fashioned Sage box, and things may be changing. So I look forward to that, too, the Transmission Talk Tuesday roundtable discussion next Tuesday from Nautel. Thanks a lot. All right. Let us. I think I noticed that Chris Tarr has just joined us. Chris, are you there, buddy?
I am here. Hello there.
Hey. Oh, you look and smell so fresh.
I know. I had to go into the shower on my way home. I was at transmitter sites all day. And when that happens, my wife gets home and she goes, "You smell like transmitter." So, you know, I always make a habit of when I'm out working at transmitter sites to hop in the shower when I'm done.
Hey, off camera is my friend Dan Merwin. And he's my new best friend because he's been free labor helping me out. Transmitter site, and we have been it's 95 degrees here in Mississippi, and it's humid, unbelievably humid. In fact, we got to the transmitter site, we knew the AC was working inside because we got there, and the outside door handle was sweating with water. So I think the AC worked overnight. That's a good thing. We'll be cool inside. So yeah,
oh, that's great.
Dan, do I smell like transmitter? He's laughing. I probably do too. So anyway, Chris, great to see you. Hey, let me introduce you to our guest. Tony Lewis is here. We've got a triple shot of everybody. Get the whole family together. There we go. There's Tony Lewis. So Chris Tarr is a broadcast engineer. Tony in Wisconsin takes care of about 50 radio stations up there and with Magnum Media. So we are eager to hear about Tony. I'd like to make sure everybody's on the same page.
I think you're overruled here a little bit. You're a little overruled here. You got two guys from Wisconsin sitting here.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, I'll step out. You guys,
unite.
Yes.
Tony, are you from up in the Appleton area? Is that where you're from?
I live in Appleton. Yep.
Okay. There you go. Well, awesome. Chris is in Mukwonago.
I know Mukwonago well.
Yeah. Such a small town. Chris is the mayor every third Thursday.
Right. I pay a lot for that distinction.
Yes.
Well, so Chris, what we learned while you were out is that Tony was the force behind getting Free PBX going. What was that, Tony, about 15 years ago? 2008?
Yeah, going on that now. Yeah, 2008 time. Yeah, and well, so it feels like a lifetime ago.
I tell you what, I'm going to give just a quick preface here, and then Tony, you take over. Correct me where I was wrong and kind of take it from there. When you have VoIP telephone service, and I'm in a position where I get to explain this in the best terms I can to a lot of engineers who've never had to deal with this. So a lot of folks are buying VoIP phone systems for broadcast, for on-air, or for their business. A lot of radio stations are. And they what they're told is, hey, you need to get SIP or VoIP. And what often is not described or explained is that there's a couple different ways that SIP exists. And one is SIP trunking. And SIP trunking is not what goes to your phone on your desk. That is a SIP extension or a SIP endpoint. So a SIP trunk is what goes into a SIP PBX. And the SIP PBX can do amazing things, especially if it's Free PBX, can do amazing things with this. It can put you into a call queue, an IVR, interactive voice response. It can put you into a conference bridge. There's all sorts of cool things. It can forward your call somewhere else. It can put you into a ring group and ring a whole bunch of phones based on, hey, yeah, I want to talk to anybody in the sales department. And that's what a PBX does. Free PBX is able to convert all different kinds of incoming telephony into VoIP extensions or even into POTS or other extensions. So the PBX is just the heart of this whole thing. And it sounds like it should be a really complicated affair, but you know, once you get to play around with it, you can set up the things that you need to do for a call flow to happen for broadcast. And then the PBX is the host for registering telephones or other VoIP devices, SIP devices to it to say, hey, I'm extension 700 or I'm extension 755 or whatever. So the PBX really is the heart of this. And it used to be that a PBX filled the whole room at your corporate office, right? And then they got them down to the size of a big computer. And Free PBX lets you do things like make a PBX in a Raspberry Pi, which I did at my house. And that was how I learned about VoIP. Otherwise, it was just concepts to me that had no basis in touchy-feely, you know, actually make it work sort of world. So I downloaded Free PBX, put it in a Raspberry Pi, hooked it to, I don't know, it was Ring Central or Grand Central or whatever, and then had a VoIP phone and registered that, and voila, made a phone call. I was so delighted. I thought, wow, it made me feel so smart to take this product into a Raspberry Pi and sign up for a free phone service and have a phone ring. I felt king of the world, man. And that got me going to learning about more and more things, and now all of my radio stations use Free PBX as the phone PBX. So, Kent, maybe we're all on a similar page here. Tony, correct me where I've been wrong and kind of fill in the blanks and tell sure. us about Free PBX.
Well, I think you're dead right. You know, your PBX is your central, your brain box, right? You know, Free PBX's design was to be very modular and allow it to sit in lots of different industries and use cases. It's been around a long time, you know. The current incarnation of Free PBX, you know, 2008. Prior to that, there was a product that Free PBX morphed from called AMP, which was the old asterisk management portal. Really basic, like very, very basic. We kind of got involved and took over when it became what we know today as Free PBX. You know, some interesting things that you'll see a lot with background in Free PBX was basically, the whole core team that built Free PBX had no telephony background. So we were learning telephony as we were writing and designing and publishing out Free PBX, which is kind of crazy to think you're building a whole platform that you have no background in. You know, we didn't come from a telephony or PBX background.
Yeah, we're listening. Oh. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, it just cut out for a minute. So, you know, one of the neat things you mentioned with FreePBX is a lot of it is it's interoperability. You know, it can connect incoming SIP trunks. It can connect from PRIs and analog lines, BRIs in Europe, T1s and E1s. On the endpoint side or the desk phone side or the endpoint side, you know, it can connect to SIP-compliant phones. Traditional desk phones, it can connect to SIP-based studio phones, right? It can connect to analog FXS phones and elevator phones and fax machines. It can connect to WebRTC and allow WebRTC client to connect to it. So, you know, the design of FreePBX really is to be that gateway or that hub with all the different spokes of what's coming to it.
Gotcha. And I'm amazed too. You just listed off all these different uses for telephony and like an elevator phone or even a front door thing or even a ring down line or something like that. Wow. And FreePBX, you know, was able to, it is able to deal with all these things. Would you back me up in that a great way for people to learn? Because it costs nearly nothing to teach yourself PBX, SIP PBX, if you just download free PBX, put it on an old cast off computer and you know, absolutely, get a free or very low cost, you know, SIP trunk and hook a VoIP phone to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what we see all the time, you know, the history of free PBX and its millions and millions of installs was, that's exactly it. People found it, played with it, downloaded it, installed it. Connected it to a you know, cheap SIP provider or quality SIP providers, doesn't matter, and start connecting mm-hmm. different types of phones to it. You know, hey, start Chris, playing with the call flow.
I'll bet Chris Tarr has a story about learning things about SIP. Chris, how did you get your feet wet in SIP telephony?
Oh, boy. I would say back in... I can't even think back. It's got to be probably 20 years now. And I started out, you know, with computer to computer. Then I went with, you know, the real early ATAs. And now, you know, I'm pretty much all SIP everywhere. And at Magnum, we're all SIP there too as well. We do all IP phones. My house is all IP phones, my business, my office phone. You know, there's so many reasons to do it and almost no reasons not to. I've got even like at my transitor sites now, because I've got IP connectivity through fiber to all of them. Again, remote controls, all that stuff is all, you know, using ATAs and VoIP equipment. And it's so inexpensive now. Even interfacing it with older gear, I've got a Telos, I believe it's a 1x6. And I would be able to get a 6-port ATA, which is the analog telephone adapter, plug in the network cable on one end and the 6 regular phone cords out the back. And all of a sudden now you've got affordable SIP lines on your old legacy gear. So, yeah, I mean, now the one thing I haven't gotten into is you guys are talking about free PBX. I really haven't dove into that much. I know that our system, I have a third party handle our VoIP system, and he uses free PBX. I use for my home stuff Anvio, which has, you know, a bunch of call flows and things like that. You know, I just never took the dive into, you know, doing the PBX stuff. I always just would get one off lines and, you know, multi-line phones and do it that way.
Gotcha. In fact, come to think of it, I was mentioning to Tony earlier at all my radio stations, and by the way, they're not all mine. I'm part owner. I own a tiny little part. I own the part that makes phone calls. But at all of our stations, except the ones in Samoa, we haven't got those hooked up through a free PBX system yet. But all the other, all the US based ones, including the ones in Hawaii, they all go through a free PBX server. Of all places in Pahrump, Nevada, that's where the server is. So every call you make to and from our radio station goes through what was formerly Art Bell's radio station in Pahrump, Nevada. About that, and they all work.
See, what's great. What's so cool is, I work from home, so I'm sitting right here in my office, and this phone right here is an IP phone, and that's off of our PBX system at Magnum. So, you know, if I get a phone call or whatever, they can transfer it to my extension. If I need to call somebody, I can dial their extension, and it works as if I was in the office, and you just take a phone and plug it in. You know, that's just one of the, and especially with people working from home now, we can pre-program the phones. They can plug it in and go. So, you know, I guess, you know, those are some things, although again, it's kind of hairy to do this stuff yourself. There's a lot to it, and it's one thing to do it. It's another thing to do it well. And I've found in my case, I've gone to outside vendors for help for that, because the flip side to that is phones are so important that rolling your own, you know, if you're really good, that's great. But, you know, to really truly roll your own and have it functional, it takes a particular skill set.
Oh, now that's true. I've been fortunate that while I've run the free PBX, it's just been for my own home use. I let other people take care of the security. Tony, I wonder, we really didn't talk, Tony, a whole lot about educating your audience here, but I wonder if are you comfortable, Tony, talking us through not necessarily a signaling workflow, but, you know, what do you have to program? What do you have to tell a PBX so that it handles an incoming phone call and sends it perhaps to the extension that you want, or to a ring group, or to a Telos VX system waiting there for an on-air call? Can you tell us what you have to program in the PBX for that to happen?
Sure. So, I mean, we do this, you know, with a lot of Telos, actually, it's funny, Telos VX customers, right? You know, in a radio station or broadcast world, where we see a lot of is, we'll bring in SIP trunking into a free PBX. That free PBX system may be premise-based, running on their own hardware. It might be hardware we sell them. It might be hosted instead of premise-based, hosted by us. It might be hosted in their own data center provider they use already. And that call then comes in from your SIP trunk provider and comes into your PBX. So in our example, a free PBX system. And the first thing it has to do, a lot like a firewall, is it's got to match a rule. So when someone calls phone number 920-333-3100, then we set a call flow rule or a call rule of where to send that call to. And in something like free PBX, that's done inside the inbound routing logic of free PBX. Think of it as your WAN interface almost of your firewall. So you match that DID or phone number inside the inbound route, and then that inbound route gives it a destination to send that caller to. And that destination might be your desk phone. It might be a Telos VX studio phone, which just acts as a SIP endpoint. It might be a voicemail box or a ring group or a call queue or an IVR. You know, if you send it something like an IVR / auto attendant, then the very next thing it has to do is play a recording. So that inbound route links to an IVR. The IVR links to a recording. That recording says, thanks for calling ABC Company. You know, press 1 for sales, 2 for support. And press 1 for sales might just be a simple ring group that has 3 extensions in it. You know, those types of call flows, you can set that up in 5 minutes. You can program, you know, your inbound routing, your IVR, and some ring groups, and have a actual routing phone calls in 5 minutes.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed about free PBX, and I really had very little experience, just made my own at home. But I needed to set up some stuff for my first radio station, and I asked Joe Talbot. I said, Joe, how do I make all the sales telephones ring? He says, oh, what you want is a ring group. And so you want to have these extensions be part of a ring group. And then when a call comes in and somebody says, I want, you know, press 1 for sales, then it'll ring to that ring group number. And sure enough, and then you can set the rules. If, you know, when the first person in that ring group picks up, what happens then? Call gets, you know, transferred to that person, and the other phones quit ringing, or do the other phones, you know, keep ringing? I don't know. It had several different behaviors. And I've noticed that in free PBX, and there's an enormous number of different behaviors that you can set for what you want a call to do as it makes its way in. I also noticed, Tony, that of the myriad options that are in there, the large majority of them I could ignore. I was just interested in, because the people want all kinds of features, right? And there's, so there's features to do everything people have ever wanted practically. But usually you get to learn to know the, you know, the 5, 10, or 15 things that you really need to set up in order for your call to go to the sales desk or the front desk or the studio, or just ring straight onto the transmitter site. Right. You kind of get to go ahead.
Yeah. I like to, where we talk about early days of free PBX, you know, we go back in history here. Those early days of free PBX were like the 60s. It was a love fest. Anybody who had a feature and wanted to submit a feature, it came into free PBX. No regards to how usable is this feature? What's it going to take to support this feature long term? So free PBX in a very short period of time, every unique use case someone had, they would submit a patch saying, hey, I added this new feature. We're like, oh, great, I'm a contributor. Let's just add it to free PBX. And you ended up with, you know, something like a ring group that has 50, 60, 70 options in it, you know, and I joke nowadays about it. Yeah, we give you enough rope to hang yourself, and then we help you hang yourself at the same time. There's so many options.
I wanted to add about contradict each other. You know, I wanted to add about the IVR and the ringing things. One of the neat little things I've done that has almost completely eliminated the car warranty calls on my home phone is simply when you call my house, the first thing you hear is an IVR saying, press 5.
Yep.
Yep. That's it. A human presses 5, it goes through. Yeah.
It eliminates 90% of the robocallers.
Exactly. Wow. Most people press 5 and it rings my phone and somebody I want to talk to. If it's a robocall, it doesn't know what to do and it gets hung up on.
How can I get my... That?
That, Chris, you get smarter. You can go create... So in free PBX, you can do inbound routes that are caller ID specific only. So it doesn't matter what number they call. You can do an inbound route by a caller ID and you could route them directly to, so they don't have to press 5. So people, family and friends... You could provide an exclusion from that where they don't have to press a 5.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I do have whitelisting. Nobody calls my home phone other anyway, so I don't really. they'll call my cell phone, but I think I have the kids' school whitelisted, but yeah, I mean, I for a long time was getting just a ton of calls, and I was like, well, you know what, you know, robot isn't going to know what to do, so we'll try that, and it's worked fantastic.
They're starting to get smart. Some of those robots are getting pretty smart when you start pairing it with AI, and they're listening and figuring out what prompts to press. We're starting to see it in some of our own customers coming to us on our unified UCaaS system saying, we're getting a lot more robocalls through, and they're actually dialing options in IVRs.
Wow. That's wild.
Well, then you have to come up with more sophisticated. Instead of just press 5, say, enter the value of pi, use the star key as a decimal point. So, that way only my mathematical friends can call me.
Yes.
I never hear from anymore. Bus on them.
What's that? Oh,
hey, all the boxes have buses in them.
We're talking, Chris, you say nobody calls your home phone anymore, and I'm kind of the opposite. I have gone great lengths not to give up my cell phone to people, so I make people call. I have a private 1-800 number, 1-800-something-Tony. I'm not going to give it out on air, but it's a private vanity number, and that's the only number I really give out. But that number's got messaging. I have full texting. One of the great things we do at Clearly AP is full messaging on VoIP numbers, SMS and MMS and everything. So I've protected my cell phone by running all that through the phone system where I have a lot more logic.
And that's the thing, is that horse left the barn a long time ago. Unfortunately, I have a cell phone number that goes back many years and everybody has it, because that's kind of why I set this up, was I was trying to kind of separate, you know, work from home. And, you know, by this point, so many people have my cell phone number that I can't unring the bell.
You just port the number to a SIP port your cell phone number to a SIP carrier and then go get a new cell phone number.
Oh, I never even really thought of that. That's actually a great idea.
Brilliant.
That's why I made the big
That's right.
Speaking of number porting, we're going to talk to Tony about that. If you run a radio station, you know that you've had a number for years that everybody in town knows, or you think they know. Tony's got some advice on how to keep that number, even though you move to a new carrier. He'll tell us more about that coming up. We're talking to Tony Lewis about telephony, SIP telephony, and what you might need to know about it. He's the guy that got free PBX going, and that was, 15 years or so ago. We'll be back with more with Tony Lewis, and Chris Tarr is along with us as well. I'm Kirk Harnack on This Week in Radio Tech. Our show is brought to you in part by Broadcast Bionics and this amazing new product called Virtual Rack. Now, you've heard me talking for years about virtualizing your broadcast infrastructure, like your audio console or your phone system, or now an intercom system can be fully virtualized, or audio processors can be virtualized as well. Even our Pathfinder software from Telos comes in virtually. Well, Broadcast Bionics has made that really easy. So instead of having to deal with Linux-based software containers like Docker containers, OCI compliant containers, there is a product now from Broadcast Bionics that lets you do this just so easily and simply. Hey, Suncast, I don't know if you've got access to put that page up from Broadcast. Oh, there we go. And here's what they do at Broadcast Bionics. You purchase the server from them, and it's got their own designed software. It all runs in Linux, but it's got their own design front end to this server. And it has in it kind of like an app store. You pick out the apps that you want to run, whether they're from Telos Alliance or from a couple of other manufacturers. And you pick out the apps that you want to run, you click on them, and within literally seconds, these containers, these appliances, if you will, are installed into Virtual Rack. Now, you still have to contact the manufacturer of those appliances and license them. Some may have a little bit of limited functionality without being licensed, so you may be able to try them out. And their audio ins and outs through the server is going to be through audio over IP, typically AES-67 or perhaps Livewire. Now, Suncast is showing you a page right now on the Broadcast Bionics website. And at the bottom of the page, there's a couple of videos you can click on to learn more about Broadcast Bionics Virtual Rack. We also did a whole show, This Week in Radio Tech episode with Dan McQuillan about Virtual Rack just a few episodes ago. So you may want to go look that up and just look for Dan McQuillan and or Virtual Rack and see about how that works for you. Now, I think it's a great idea, fantastic solution, because of you don't need a lot of tech support to make this happen. You buy the Virtual Rack hardware computer, it's already set up for you. You enter some IP addresses, and then you choose the apps that you want, and they install. And then you contact the manufacturers of those apps, and you purchase the license key for those. An amazing solution. And then you can put this Virtual Rack, you know, anywhere that's safe, secure, where you need it, where you have backup power, maybe a couple sources of internet. Maybe a data center, a privately owned data center locally that you can install it in, or put it in your own brick and mortar radio station, or maybe even at the transmitter site. Lots of options there from Broadcast Bionics Virtual Rack. It really makes containerized software super duper easy. And I would encourage you to go to bionic.radio is one way to get to them. Also bionics.co.uk, the couple of websites, or just Google, you know, Broadcast Bionics Virtual Rack, and you'll find it there. Thanks a lot, Dan McQuillan and Broadcast Bionics, for your constant leadership in the broadcast space and for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. Okay, I'm Kirk Harnack here in Oxford, Mississippi, at the site of Oxford Media Group, OMG. Where we've got three new stations going on there pretty soon. The Buzz, Oldies 94.7, and The Beat. The Buzz and The Beat are going to be on HD2 and HD3, respectively. And our Buzz is going to be on FM and HD1. So we're building some studios here. Very simple. We're going to do a show from here, showing off these studios and how we're making it all work from the transmitter site. That's going to be pretty cool, too. With me, Chris Tarr, co-host, is here from Mukwonago, and Tony Lewis, the guy who is responsible for free PBX. Tony, tell you what, why don't you update us on where free PBX is now? You weren't involved with it, but you've moved it off to somebody else.
Yeah. So first thing I say is, I'm not the guy that brought free PBX. That was a large team of people that did. Nobody takes credit, single person. So, you know, I I was the CEO of the company that owned the trademark and copyright and everything related to FreePX. It's open source. You know, all you own is the copyright. So we had the trademark and copyright and produced all the code. In 2016, we sold that company off to a company in Canada called Sangoma Technologies. Our core team joined Sangoma. I led Sangoma COO for 4 years. And in the middle of 2019, I and a bunch of other of the original FreePX teams had exited Sangoma and went and started Clearly IP. So Sangoma, you know, or FreePX itself is live and well. FreePX.org, their forums, community.freepbx.org. The product is alive and well, around, installed every day. We hear from people, partners, customers every day installing it, coming to us for consulting or different types of add-on products that we might sell into FreePBX, like our SIP trunking platforms, or we manufacture a line of IP desk phones. We have a soft phone for Android and iOS and a desktop phone. And, we build a bunch of products that work in FreePBX along with other things. We're not married to FreePBX as a company since we don't own FreePBX anymore, but we build a lot of stuff in that ecosystem still.
Ah, gotcha. Gotcha. Hey, I had not heard of Clearly IP until recently, Tony, and you guys do things for broadcast. You part of your website is dedicated to helping broadcasters get their on-air telephony all arranged, and you can sell them the services and products that they need to make that happen, right?
Yeah, so we kind of focus. It was one of the vertical markets as a company. We kind of focused our SIP trunking on. We have some of the largest radio stations in America on our platform. Some of the largest shows on SiriusXM are on our platform. And when we say on our platform, we provide that high volume blast calling, the inbound contest type calling, trunking that you traditionally would buy analog choke lines for. From what I hear, $50 to $500 to $5,000 for a choke line, some of these stations were paying for. So we provide a virtual choking line through SIP that lets you choke to whatever you want. And then you can even, you can choke a whole radio station. So you can say, hey, this radio station, I want no more than 20 call paths. Meaning I don't want any more than 20 calls at a time ever hitting my PBX. But then within, for example, FreePBX, we built some advanced stuff that we give away for free that you can use in FreePBX that lets you choke down to every dialed at the PBX level. So you can say, hey, for this phone number, I want to choke it to 6 simultaneous calls because I have my TELUS VX station, studio phone set to 6 lines. So they'll choke that phone number down to 6 calls, but then they have control. What happens on that 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, or 11th call, or 12th call, or however many they're allowing to the PBX, and that could be play a message to them, like, sorry, the contest has ended, or sorry, you're not the winner, or it could be just hang up on them, or play a busy tone. So when you once that choke is met, if it's, like I said, if phone number X is choked to 6 calls, you decide what happens for any call after that 6 and what gets played to the caller.
Wow. And that happens inside FreePBX. That decision is made there.
Yes. So you choke with us at our SBC session border controller. So you set a choke with us on our SIP trunking it for the whole station. How many simultaneous calls do you want? But then the more granular control, we let you do that at FreePBX because that's where you can play things. You could send them to voicemail. You could play a busy message and return the 486 SIP busy response. You could just hang up on it. You play an announcement, then hang up. So we let you have all that control since FreePBX, as you were talking about earlier, has all this complex routing logic. It makes more sense to give that control in FreePBX because they can do more than just hang up on the caller.
I need you to educate me a bit more. You mentioned a couple times something called an SBC or session border controller. And okay. I've heard this term before. I think maybe I kind of know what it does, but help me clearly understand what an SBC does and where is it and who owns it.
An SBC can be lots of things. And users can have SBCs in. When we talk about SBCs in our layer, it's what a carrier uses to allow all your different phone systems to connect to you. So at an end customer, you have what? A PBX, right? You talk about FreePBX. In the carrier world, what you think of as the PBX is what we call the SBC, the Session Border Controller. So in the Session Border Controller is how you connect to us to get to make and receive phone calls. And it's how we connect to the PSTN, to the outside world, to allow all those inbound and outbound calls from all the other carriers to interconnect together.
Okay, all right.
The easiest way to explain an SBC, it's a VoIP firewall. A lot of people,
VoIP firewall. People look at it,
it's a VoIP firewall.
But this is where you can protect yourself and your customers from too much inbound. Tell me, what about this? There's a broadcaster that did something. A huge number of calls in the first few minutes or seconds or something. What was the story you're telling me earlier this week about that?
Oh, just, you can go online and research, find this stuff, but you'll see stories of some radio station will run some big contest and they'll just have a normal analog line or some PRI, and they'll run some contests and they'll actually take down core switches because they haven't set up that service to actually be choke aware and high volume aware. So when we deal with broadcast customers, we're using specific services and we're registering numbers as high volume numbers, meaning we have some radio stations that we can see 100,000 calls in 5 minutes or more than 100,000 even generated when they run some big contests, Super Bowl ticket giveaways or World Series ticket giveaways. And, your LA and New York markets and stuff, we can literally see 250,000 calls in 5 minutes. Well, that would take down, if that was just a normal phone number, that would take down a lot of the core networking switches that the different carriers have. So there are ways of telling a phone number that's for high volume so everyone in the chain knows how to deal with that and that you're not going to overwhelm the underlying telephony services.
Gotcha. Wow.
So that's what traditional broadcasters think of, those choke lines. So there's a way of doing it in SIP. We're not getting into the details because it's part of our magic sauce that sets us apart from everyone else. But there's a way in SIP of kind of doing that same, not kind of mimicking what a choke service is and that high volume, fast amount of calls in a short period of time that most, 99.9% of them get rejected, but you still got to handle that.
Think of choke lines. Plenty of broadcasters ask me or ask us, hey, we want to put in a new VoIP phone system. We're getting away from our incumbent carrier. We're going to a VoIP carrier. And the incumbent carrier says we can't port our traditional that we've had for 40 years or more phone numbers because they're part of a choke network. You have had a fair amount of success in porting choked numbers over to a service like yours. Tell me about that, and can you let us in on any secrets to making that happen?
Well, the reason we have been able to is because we work with upstream carriers that are designed, special stuff just for the choke type service. Doesn't mean we can port every choke number, but we've had very good success in taking traditional choke numbers and being able to port them into our virtual choking broadcast service. From how a user does it with us, it's just a normal port submission they do with us. And then our backend team works with the losing carrier and intermediate carriers to get that number released into a VoIP network and registered properly as a high volume number.
Okay. So there is hope for broadcasters wanting to keep their expensive choke number and move it over to a better service like VoIP. Okay.
Yes, and one of the neat things with like our offering to broadcast is it's the dynamicness, meaning you can control at our layer, you can control real time how many simultaneous calls you want at a station level, and you can change that on demand. And then inside Free PBX, as we talked about, you have that more granular control over at a per phone number layer. That's all real time. You're not having to open tickets with people. You literally log into a portal and you manage those simultaneous calls and that choking inside of Free PBX and what to do all real time at your own leisure.
Gotcha. Well, hey, of course, the name of the software you came up with was Free PBX. But I've having used Free PBX, I noticed that there are features that you can pay for to get licensed for them to work. What kinds of functionality comes free with that? I know it's not your bailiwick anymore, but what's the delineation between free and something that you pay for?
So I the general rule we had used back when, you know, FreePX was our company, what we were doing with it, was things that were specialized, vertical markets or specialty things like call centers. That's what we would make a what we call commercial add-on. That's what funded the project. You know, for your average SMB business, what came free and open source and free PBX gave them everything they needed, for the most part. Probably the caveat to that was we came out with a module that let you provision phones, endpoints, and we provisioned over 300 different manufacturer endpoints. So we charged a nominal fee for that, for the ease of configuring all these different manufacturer desk phones. Beyond that module, most modules are designed for a very specific vertical market or a very niche feature set that people would be willing to pay for.
Hey, you mentioned this notion of provisioning, and I've noticed that a product like the Telos VX broadcast phone system that registers as numerous SIP endpoints, it's very generic. There's only about five fields that you have to fill in to make the VX register to a SIP PBX. But if I go buy literally a $59 Grandstream or Yealink phone, it's got hundreds of fields that are possible to fill in. And so I guess this is this what provisioning does? It lets the whoever's operating the PBX populate that phone with the information that it needs to operate in the way that the owner of it wants it to operate?
Yeah, so that's what phone provisioning was or is the idea of letting the PBX write out a configuration file for the phone. The phone loads it, and the PBX is determining what things it wants to set up on the phone. You know, if I look at our Clearly AP desk phones, 500, it's like 5,000 different options that you can set. It's it's crazy, right? It's so it's manually set up one phone at a time by logging into the phone would be a long process for someone to roll out phone systems, where, you know, with a proper provisioning system and any PBX, we're not just talking free PBX, any PBX, you can roll hundreds of phones in, you know, a half a day.
Hey, time is slipping away here. I need to remind you, you're watching or listening to This Week in Radio Tech. Tony Lewis, the founder, the guy who started Free PBX, is with us. He's doing something now called clearlyip.com. And I don't know if I'll tell the story publicly here, but I've already sent Tony one broadcast customer a few days ago. That broadcast engineer phoned me back, or actually texted me back, and said, "Kirk, I had a fantastic experience with Clearly IP. These guys get it. They knew exactly what I needed, and we're moving full steam ahead." So anyway, obviously Tony's doing something very good here for broadcast engineers. Chris Tarr is with me, and we need to take a break and tell you about Henry Engineering and something called the Talent Pod. It's the Talent Pod 2, come to think of it. The Henry Engineering Talent Pod 2 is a mic and headphone controller. Now, we've got sports season, football season, high school football, and then basketball right around the corner, coming right up, actually, in a couple of weeks, a lot of this stuff starts. The Talent Pod 2 can really help you have much better productions out in the field, or even if you're doing a sort of remote broadcast called Remy Remotes, where your talent is actually sitting watching the game on a TV feed, and they're calling the play-by-play that way. Either way, whatever your methodology is, the Talent Pod 2 will really help you out. During a sports remote with multiple announcers, this can be a real hassle to get it done right. You need to provide headphones for each announcer, and you need to provide a mix minus or a mix return feed, like an IFB backhaul feed, into their local headphones as well. And each announcer may want a slightly different mix. Or you can put the, you know, they ask, you put the IFB in my right ear only or something like that. Anyway, the Talent Pod 2 is really to the rescue for this. It's an easy and foolproof way to do remote broadcast. With the Talent Pod 2, each announcer gets to control his own mic and headphones. If you need to mix local and return audio into the headphones, it's easy to do. You can adjust the amount and which headphone it's in, center, left, or right. You need a different mix for each announcer? No problem. Need to give some off-air cues just to the color guy or the main announcer? No problem. Talent Pod 2 does all of this without distribution amplifiers or complicated wiring. In fact, a lot of the wiring is simply Cat5 cables to connect these different ones together over RJ45 connectors. It really provides the announcer a convenient way to turn his mic on and off as well, and control that headphone audio. There's a huge illuminated mic on, mic off button, and also a cough button, which momentarily mutes mic audio. The mic control functions are compatible with any professional dynamic or condenser microphone. So how about that? They're rack mountable too. A lot of these products are rack mountable. You can use this with your mic mixer and get that return audio into each announcer's talent pod too. Check it out. You go to henryeng.com for the talent pod too. And you know, Henry, oh my goodness, Hank Landsberg just makes all kinds of products that will help you with remote broadcasts, with building your studios, with getting your on-air tally lights going properly. Awesome stuff. And available at Broadcasters General Store. That website, bgs.cc. And you know, they're really set up for you to call them. It can be a nice end of your day to pick up the phone and call Broadcasters General Store and get exactly what you need ordered at 352-622-7700. 352-622-7700. Dave Kirsten and Carrie and Jessica Shute and Jonathan Shute, everybody there. Oh my goodness, good folks to talk to at BGS. Thanks a lot. Chris Tarr is with us, and Tony Lewis is here, the guy who started Free PBX. Chris, you haven't said anything in a few minutes. I'm sorry if I've been hogging the conversation. Do you have any specific questions for Tony?
No, I've just, I was really excited to hear about the choke line. I know back when I was with Intercom 3-4 years ago, we were moving to voice over IP, and, you know, the AT&T kept saying, well, it's a tariffed product. We can't, you know, it's non-portable. We had this whole discussion. And then, you know, even before that, when I was with Radio Milwaukee, we had a voice over IP system, and the first contest we ran, we killed everything. Because... Yes. You know, we just didn't expect that kind of volume of calls. And upstream, Chris, nobody expected that.
I don't remember, Chris. WTMJ in Milwaukee actually years ago ran a big contest, and they took down Northern Lights or whatever it was. Their provider went down
their volume
of calls for hours and hours to get the switches back up. Everything crashed. So it's the VoIP world's really struggled with that because they never thought of the choking, and it wasn't really built in. Nobody, it's so specialized. It was AT&T had it in their old Class 5 switches only. So we've been able to mimic that functionality in the VoIP world and handle that high volume.
And that's, you know, that's a key because, again, you know, especially in a little bit larger cities, those choke lines actually do something. They're actually there for a reason. And again, as we moved away from that choke line, the first contest or two that we had, we just brought the entire system down. And then we finally were able to work with the engineers on the SIP side to kind of create something that limited the flow of traffic. But even things like, you know, returning the 500 busy, it couldn't return those fast enough.
No, that's
the problem. So you know, it was just that.
That's why we do that double approach where we let you set your max threshold first with us and let us handle all the rejections. And then we'll, you know, you might say with us, you want 30 call paths, but then at your PBX, certain numbers, you only want 6. Well, the PBX can handle from 6 to 30 fine. It can reject those. It's the 30 to 5,000 or 30 to 50,000. Right. They can't do it.
Right. Wow. And I was very interested in hearing you talk about that because that's one of those things that, a lot of people who try to roll their own, they don't think about it. They don't, you know, they don't realize that that's going to be an issue.
Yes.
Hey, I wonder if we might spend a minute talking about some of the applications that VoIP telephony can help you with, because it does go over IP. IP is so ubiquitous these days. I mean, we can throw up an IP radio link and get internet connectivity out to transmitter sites that previously we couldn't. Or are not served by, you know, Comcast or Xfinity or whomever your local carrier provider is. So at every one of my transmitter sites, we've been able to cancel our POTS service, which in many cases was just absolutely horrible to begin with and cost us plenty of money, typically about $100 a month at every transmitter site. Now we build the infrastructure to get IP out there anyway, for meter readings, sometimes for STL audio, a lot of times for STL. And you know, we just add a VoIP phone out there. We're already got a relationship where we get, you know, extensions, and it literally costs nothing extra to add that phone out there. And if we have a device, you know, like a good old sign systems remote control, a dial up that wants a POTS line, you just use an ATA adapter. So I really encourage people, look at your POTS lines and see, can I eliminate something here by just getting, you know, using internet IP connectivity that I already have out here anyway,
and add that.
Go ahead, Chris.
Here's a good example of what I was able to do with voice over IP system. I had a Burk remote control system that was living out at a transmitter site, and it controlled, you know, it's starting to grow. It's controlling all of our sites. And I said, well, I need to bring it in to where I've got, you know, the bandwidth to be taking all these SNMP packets. Well, I didn't have a phone line there, so I just grabbed one of our free DID numbers that we had at our pool and threw it on an ATA. And within 5 minutes, I had a phone line there. So, you know, it's not calling the phone company, waiting for a provision, having them come out, find it on the DMARC, you know, all this and that. I brought the box over and went, I need a phone number for that. You know, and grabbed an ATA and popped a couple of settings in there, and boom, you know, we've got a phone line for the Burk. So that's just another one of those really nice things you get with voice over IP.
Tony, how about you? You got any unusual uses where VoIP made possible something pretty interesting?
You know, I think a lot of it was even 10 years ago, you know, 8 years ago, was the transmitter sites. We started seeing the whole ATAs in the transmitter sites left and right because, you know, you talk about, you know, the saving $100. We were seeing transmitter sites that were spending $500. They were so far away, they were spending $500 a month just to have a phone line there. In that phone line, a lot of them were just for emergency purposes. If something happened while a tech was out there, you know, especially in a lot of the bigger broadcast companies, they require, for liability reasons, a phone line there. And it was astronomical to put those phone lines into a lot of those remote tower sites. So that was a thing we saw early on in the broadcast space, even, like I said, 8 years ago, 10 years ago.
So, Kirk, I gave Suncast a link to see, I'll see if he can bring it up here. This is an Indiegogo campaign, and it just happened, you know, we're talking about voice over IP, and there is a Indiegogo campaign right now, and they're actually now sending out the devices. They've created a hackable, basically a SIP phone that looks like a cell phone, and it has Wi-Fi. It's got a couple of different plugins, but it's got headers in it, and it's basically made to hack. There it is, the Y phone. And mine is going to be here on Saturday, and it's really kind of cool. It's, you know, they call it a voice over IP mobile phone. But basically it's, you know, a small board with SIP software in it, but they give you all the headers you can see in the back where you can add different types of devices. Like they've got one that is, like here, you know, they're showing all the, you know, like you could create a remote control car for it. You know, basically the deal is you can take this, the guts of this, and put it into anything and create different devices, like IoT devices with it. So I thought that was really, really cool. And I was really compelled by that. So I went ahead and donated to the campaign, and they're going to be sending me one. But very cool stuff.
Funny you did that. I did the same thing. I sponsored this when it came out. I've been waiting for it.
Oh, did you?
I'm hoping it's as good as they say. My feeling is it's, I think we're going to be disappointed, but it's at least starting the mindset of this and the thought process. And, you know, other companies may come in and perfect it, but the concept is awesome.
That's what I said. And you know, yeah, it's, you know, it may not be that great, but I, you know, I want to, first of all, encourage that kind of development. And second of all,
for sure,
there might be some good bits in there.
Yep.
Hey, it's This Week in Radio Tech. Kirk Harnack and Chris Tarr and Tony Lewis are along here. We're going to wrap things up in just a few minutes. In fact, Tony, this is the part of the show where I just remember that I forgot to ask you. We're going to do a tip of the week in just a couple of minutes. And we're going to ask you for a tip of the week. You know, what great piece of advice would you send our engineer listeners and viewers away with at the end of the show. So hang on to that thought or think of one. You know, what's really useful. Of course, I think your companies are really good resource. So, you know, let's maybe mention that. Chris and I are going to take care of a little business here. And one of those things is Angry Audio and this amazing mic processor that's called the Smooth. And Chris, maybe you can tell us something about Smooth.
Smooth is fantastic. So Angry Audio, of course, you know, they've been coming out with some really interesting and compelling processing products. In fact, we were just today having a conversation on Facebook about putting the C-level processor in front of older on-ear audio processors and making it sound like new. Well, they've taken some of that coding that Corny has done, some of those algorithms, and have created mic processors. And part of the discussion was, if you've seen a mic processor, they have knobs all over the place. And it's really easy. I don't know how many times you've gotten these phone calls as an engineer. I know I've gotten them all the time. Somebody's messed up the settings and they turn on the mic and it sounds horrible. And you know, you use the China marker to draw the grease pencil, to draw the stuff on there, and they rub them off. And it's just a pain to kind of keep them sounding good. Well, Catfish and Mike Dosh over at Angry Audio has come up with the solution. I mean, they are the problem solvers. And they came up with the Smooth. And the reason it's called the Smooth is the first two letters are SM. And that stands for SM for the Shure mics. So if you have a Shure microphone, an SM5 or an SM7, or even this one, the MV7, this mic processor is for you. And the way it works is you just plug it in and go. It is already tuned for the sound of the specific sound of the SM7 or the SM5. Now, there are some controls in there. There's a gating control, which is actually called the room size, that you can have a little bit of tweaking for EQ and things. But basically, you could plug it in as is and sound fantastic. And that's the point. It's designed for those specific microphones. So you don't have to figure out how to make a specific processor sound good with a specific mic. You know, if you have an SM series microphone and you plug it into this processor right out of the box, it's going to sound fantastic. But then it also gives you the option to do a little bit of tweaking to really customize it to the way you want it to sound. AngryAudio.com, check it out. They are coming out with some for some other microphones. There'll be some announcements on that soon, but they are very excited about this brand new Smooth microphone processor. AngryAudio.com. Angry. Get angry. Solve some problems. Don't get mad. Get angry. Get angry. AngryAudio.com.
Thanks. Thanks, Chris. I want to tell you about Max Connect. And you know, we've been talking certainly about Max Connect Wireless and their 4G LTE modem service that gives you prioritized data and a fixed IP address. Well, I got to tell you, we're building a transmitter site right now in Oxford, Mississippi, and we got electrical power out there. We got the fiber pulled out there, and yet the fiber provider, they haven't been out there to do any splicing yet. And they say it may be a while before they get out there with the ONT, the device outside, whatever that stands for. Maybe Chris knows. Anyway, we're not going to have internet at the transmitter site for a little while longer. So guess what I'm doing? I need an internet out there. We're using Max Connect at the transmitter site right now. And it's giving us remote connectivity to, a total of like 8 servers that are in the transmitter building. It'll give us remote connectivity into the transmitter, into the Omnia processing out there, into the EAS unit. Yes, the EAS units at the transmitter site. We're going to have access to everything. And right now, thank goodness for Max Connect. Otherwise, I'd be back home and this project would be delayed another few weeks. So thank heavens for Max Connect Wireless. You can connect with them at maxconnect.com. I know it's spelled funny because it's the internet. So there's how you spell it there. Max Connect. You can leave off the word wireless if you want to. Maxconnect.com. And you can hook it up with your favorite carrier, AT&T, T-Mobile, or Verizon, Sprint. If you need to do this internationally, they also have service in Canada as well. Max Connect also offers engineering services. So if you have a project you need to get done, and maybe it's something that you're not interested in doing, it's just hard to do. Maybe a whole bunch of new remote control is needed. You got to do a whole lot of wiring and SNMP programming and that kind of thing. Max Connect can do jobs like that for you too, as well as repairs too. So maxconnect.com. Thanks a lot.
Can I jump in really quick?
Yeah.
I wanted to jump in quick and give a shout out to Max Connect. These guys are fantastic. I had put in a Max Connect at a transmitter site that I'm waiting for fiber on, and it turns out I plugged in some sort of rogue device that was just generating a ton of traffic, and I shot past my allotment of bandwidth. And he sent me a message and just said, hey, you know, you're going to be in for a lot of money, you know, if this keeps up. You're already past your allotment. But what they can do is they can dynamically, just for the month, adjust your allotment of data. So, you know, instead of having a ton of overage charges for blowing through my data cap, he suggested to save some money to raise that data cap to fit that and then bring it back down again at the end of the month. And in the meantime, we just, you know, he remotely shut off the data from that device to stop that traffic from happening. So they just went out of their way to take care of me, and I really appreciated it.
Awesome. Good folks there. Thanks a lot, Josh Bone at Max Connect. All right. Hey, we're about to wrap up the show, but the best part of the show is right here, right now. Tony Lewis. Yes, we're going to put the spotlight on Tony. Tony, the spotlight's on you. What advice, what parting advice can you give to our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, I think it would be embracing, of course, Voice over IP and SIP, not to be scared of it. You know, reach out to the experts, you know, staff like ClearAP, the TELUS Alliance guys, you know a lot on this side of the space, especially with the studio stuff. We've learned a lot from you guys, too, over the years without ever actually probably – knowing we were working together the way we were at times. And I guess, you know, beyond that, you know, we're great guys over here. We're friendly. You can reach out. We'll answer things that we can. We have a pretty decent group of people. I think a great group of people, and we're here to help and assist. And, you know, whether that's on free PBX stuff, questions you have, you know, we have some packages that include choke line services and us hosting free PBX for you, and, you know, help your transition, especially for your high volume, you know, call-in contest and call-in type lines. You know, we're here to help serve you.
Hey, I'm glad you mentioned that you host free PBX as well. So many broadcast engineers I talk to these days, they're not so interested in having an appliance or a computer running the PBX at their studio. They'd like to offload that and just have internet connectivity, managed or unmanaged, up to a site like yours. So you guys do host free PBX. The engineers would have remote access into that. They can make changes, set things up as employees come and go. They can take care of that and also for their talk show needs, right?
Yep, for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. That's terrific. Chris, real quick, you got anything for us before we say goodbye?
I do. I was trying to get a link to the item. I don't have it right now, but I bought on eBay an SNMP web-based 16-channel relay board, and I'll be trying it out for a remote control. This thing's pretty cool. It's got, you know, the relay inputs, and it also has analog and digital inputs for readings. And it was $150 for the entire thing. It's got a little built-in web server, and it runs on SNMP. And I'm thinking this may be a good item for remote control, a transmitter site.
Mm. And it's a relay. Okay. You know, I've seen one that was SNMP was built into a power strip. And that's how I learned something about SNMP from Tony Scott Peterly when he demonstrated. I made a duck light up, you know.
You know what I did? Remember is that? I had the PPM encoders for Nielsen, and they send you two in case one fails. Well, I had the monitor rigged up with SNMP where if one of them failed, the power strip would shut that one off and turn the backup on automatically. It was just a script, and it would monitor, and it would get the SNMP. It would send it. There's a fault in this encoder, and it would trigger the power switch to turn it off and turn the backup one on.
Wow. Wow. I can think of a lot of uses for stuff like that. And you know, you could have like a cheese curd fryer and have it, you know, dip down automatically by remote control.
So yeah.
They'd be ready when you got there.
And fire up the grill for the brats. You bet.
The grill,
but you got to boil them in beer first, Chris.
Absolutely.
Wait, we got to what the beer?
You got to
boil the brats in the beer.
Beer and onion first.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The brats go in the boiling beer.
Yes.
Hello.
Okay. I, Okay, you're not drinking
while you're drinking beer. While you're drinking your old fashioned,
right? Okay. Right, or another beer,
or another.
Oh, get your spotted cow.
Yes,
we're Suncast is going to kick us out in any second now. Tony, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to spend a little over an hour with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All the best to your company, Clearly IP. I'm going to be recommending you guys to our customers. You know, who want to. Hey, how do I get VoIP service for my talk show? Well, I got your number right here. Thank you very much. Chris, you have a good week, man. I'll see you next week, okay? All right. Thanks to Suncast for producing today's show. And thanks to you for watching and telling your friends about it. You know that like and subscribe button? Yeah, please do all that thing. That'd be really nice. Do that. Help us along. And I hope to see you back next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye.